thank Him for. Jesus, we give You thanks. We give You thanks here tonight, oh God. Why don't You reach back into Your life experience and pick out something and just thank Him for that right now. Jesus, You are so good to us. I thank You, Lord, for salvation. I thank You for Your help and for Your healing, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. He's given us so much to be thankful for. I am so blessed because my soul has found rest. Another songwriter said He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He put me in my right mind. I think everybody can say that here tonight. Some of you were not sure. But He has been so good to us. And we have every reason to give thanks unto the Lord tonight. And I'm thankful. One of the reasons to be, just to be in service tonight. Be able to feel the presence of the Lord, to experience Him. And another week of services. Thankful. Last week, Brother Michael mentioned it in his talk about Brother G.T. Haywood. He worked it in somehow, but in the month of April here at APC, had 15 get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, others baptized in Jesus' name. Something else to be thankful about. Amen. I happened to be working the computer last week, and Brother David Martin ran over to me and he said, I think we can do it again in May. And I said, I'll get on that faith. I believe we can as well. So I'm looking for something else to happen in the month of May. We'll repeat that or go above that, just whatever God has. We just want to lend our faith to what He is doing. So thankful for the work of the Lord. Tonight, as was mentioned, we are continuing our series entitled Following Christ's Legacy. And each week, if you haven't been here, we are highlighting a different Pentecostal pioneer. And as I was praying in pre-service prayer last week, just about the service, knowing that, we're not choosing a book of the Bible, and we're not choosing a text from Scripture, but this is just as needed and just as necessary to look at our apostolic history and heritage. And two of the many benefits that we gain by this is we're gaining knowledge when we look at our apostolic heritage and history. We're learning of individuals who had and continue to have significant impact in what we call modern Pentecostalism. We're looking at men and women who prayed and preached and taught, built churches, went to foreign fields, all to make sure God's message was heard and His mission fulfilled. Already we've learned about the roots of Pentecostalism in North America that led to the formation of the United Pentecostal Church International, the organization to which we here at APC belong. We've focused on men like Charles Parham, William Seymour, Frank Ewart, Glenn Cook, R.E. McAlister, and G.T. Haywood, and we've gained the knowledge that they were instrumental in the 20th century restoration of the Book of Acts Church. The speaking in tongues as the evidence of the Holy Ghost infilling and baptism in Jesus' name and divine healing. They were influential in restoring that in modern day and modern times. So we're learning, we're gaining knowledge, but the second benefit is that we're not only gaining knowledge, but as we examine the incredible lives of these ordinary but yielded and powerful men and women, we are gaining inspiration. Their lives are inspiring. Their personal moments of revelation, their conversion experiences, their stories of powerful faith, their undeterred perseverance. We're looking and we're learning, but let's also be inspired. Inspired to live like they lived, to have the unwavering faith like they had, to sacrifice like they sacrificed, to believe the message as strongly as they believed the message, to pray like they prayed, and to give like they gave, to follow them like they followed Christ. We're witnessing, as we look into these lives, we're witnessing Christ's legacy in these pioneers. And I'm sure that if they knew that generations that would succeed them would look into their life, they would say with the Apostle Paul, like he said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And that's our theme this year, follow. And one of the reasons we look at men and women who are influential in our movement is so that we can follow them like they followed Christ. And that's not heretical. That's not putting them on a pedestal they don't deserve. But they followed Christ. And as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And so these men and women, they didn't regard themselves to be anything of value on their own, but only because they followed Christ. They have stories to tell because they followed Christ. Miracles happened in them and through them because they followed Christ. And if God will do it through them, He will do it through us as well. Today, we follow their example because they followed Christ. And so I just ask us at the outset, will anybody follow us? Will anybody follow? Who are you discipling that will follow you? Maybe generations down the road will look at your life and be inspired by the faith that you had going through the mundane situations that you go through. Who will be inspired by your life? Who will follow us? I want us to pray at the outset of this lesson tonight about Sister Nona Freeman. We're going to pray that the Spirit would inspire through her life and really all throughout these men and women that we will look at in the next couple of lessons. But let's pray tonight that we would be inspired to live like she lived, which was following Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for men and women who were influential in our movement. I thank you, oh God, that they surrendered their lives to you, that they lived lives of faith, and that they were perseverant to fulfill the call that you placed on their life. I thank you, Lord, for examples like this. And I want to be inspired, even as I teach tonight, I want to be inspired by the life of Nona Freeman to surrender the way that she surrendered and to have faith the way that she had faith. I pray that you would help us, oh God. Let your Spirit breathe upon us and inspire us from your word and from the life of your faithful servant. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Nona Bertha Eastridge made her grand entrance into the world in Schuyler, Arkansas in 1916. She was baptized in Jesus' name in 1925 and 2 years later received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and Pentecost has never been the same. Nona married, I'll get it, Elpho Letrus Freeman. No doubt out of necessity, he was more commonly known as Bug or E.L. Freeman. If you thought your parents burdened you with a beastly name, you got nothing on Brother Elpho Letrus Freeman. But they married in 1937, and their ministry together included pastoring and evangelizing here in North America in places such as New Mexico, Texas, and Louisiana. But perhaps they are most notorious for their pastoring and evangelizing in the country of South Africa. They left the shores of North America in 1948 to fulfill their shared missionary call on the continent of Africa. Nona Freeman lived July 25th, 1916, until December 26th, 2009. 93 years. 84 of which she followed Jesus, His Word, and His Spirit. And as a result, revival, miracles, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and inspiration followed her. She poured herself into cities and villages and families all around the world, and God poured Himself through her. Her life and ministry so clearly demonstrate the words of Jesus Himself in Mark 16 and 17 when He said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." She believed, she followed, and then signs followed her. As a matter of curiosity, how many have ever heard Sister Nona Freeman preach? Maybe either in person? Yeah. Many of us touched by the life of this awesome, amazing, powerful woman of God. And if you've never got to hear her preach, I encourage you to go on YouTube, the all-powerful YouTube, and type in Nona Freeman preaching, and you will find a list of sermons that you can listen to. A couple of them I listened to in preparation for this lesson, got much of the content from those sermons online, as well as the multitude of books that she wrote as well. I don't have a number of how many books she wrote, but it is quite a few. And so if you could ever get your hands on one of those, you will be inspired by those books as well as those sermons on YouTube. A key moment that set the course for her powerful life happened in 1936. She had become very ill, and at 20 years of age, the doctor had given her 36 hours to live, and he sent her home to die. She did die, and her mama, Carrie Eastridge, prayed her back to life. It was at this point that she promised the Lord, "I'll go wherever you want me to go, and I'll do whatever you want me to do." And that defining moment led her to become one of the greatest missionaries Pentecost has ever known and among the most influential figures of the United Pentecostal Church. She spent the rest of her life keeping that promise to the Lord. Keeping that promise meant that she lived both a life of surrender and a life of faith. And those two things is what we will use to look at her life. We're going to look at her life of surrender, and we're going to look at her life of faith. Her life of surrender was forged at a very young age and developed as a result of the type of upbringing that she had. Sister Freeman's mother, Carrie Eastridge, was healed of a debilitating sickness and a short while later received the Holy Ghost in Canadian, Texas. A small group would meet together and they would have services and Bible studies and they would help one another grow in the Lord. And so when Carrie's husband announced to the family that they were going to uproot and move to Oklahoma, her heart was broken and she was upset because she just couldn't imagine moving away from her church group. She would have no one to pray with and she would have no understanding friend religiously. And so she went to prayer, and in the book about her mom that Sister Nona Freeman wrote, it's called Shouting on the Hills, she wrote this: "It took fasting and several prayer sessions to bring her to a place of cheerful submission that allowed her to sing, 'I surrender all,' while she packed." Once they settled in Durham, Oklahoma, because there was no church there already, Carrie began hosting Bible studies in their home and often arranged special services and tent meetings where several received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and her daughter Nona was one of those that received the gift of the Holy Ghost in a meeting put together by her mother. Sister Eastridge said that when Nona received the Holy Ghost, she, quote, "preached for 2 hours in a language with guttural sounds strange to the listening ears." It was a language that Sister Eastridge would hear again as she was getting off the boat while visiting the Freemans in Africa. Sister Freeman had received the Holy Ghost, speaking in the language of the nation to which they would one day be missionaries. That's an amazing story of an amazing God and what he was doing through the life of Sister Nona Freeman, even at a very young age. She received the Holy Ghost at age 9. She had no learning in order to know how to speak the language of Afrikaans. But she preached for 2 hours in that language the night she received the Holy Ghost. And when her mom got off the boat, she said, "I recognize that language that they're speaking. That's the language you spoke when you received the gift of the Holy Ghost." But the kind of upbringing and support that Sister Nona Freeman received from her mother was this. This is a direct quote of her mother: "All Jesus wants is a willing vessel. If you yield to him completely, he will use you mightily." Sister Carrie Eastridge taught her children to surrender to the Lord, whatever he may ask of you, whatever may happen to you because of what he asks of you. Surrender. The life of surrender that Sister Nona Freeman demonstrated was developed in her by her mother and by the faith of her mother. And so I would just say, we're going to celebrate mothers on Sunday, but to all parents, your voice of influence in your children's lives is very important. And don't underestimate the value and the influence of your words to your children, of words of faith and teaching them about the Lord, just taking small moments of teaching moments. Don't let the enemy cause you to doubt the significance of your role in the home. You're more than just the cook, the laundry maid, the fixer of lunches, and the taxi service for your children. You're the prayer warrior of your home, and you're the godly influence. You're the voice of spiritual wisdom and guidance. And Sister Nona Freeman is a result of a mother who was faithful in her upbringing, bringing her children up, nourishing them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Miraculous story after miraculous story demonstrates the level of surrender that marked the lives of Bug and Nona Freeman. They gave everything to fulfill the call that they had both received to be missionaries in the nation of Africa. They gave a lot, and they refused a lot in order to fulfill that call. In her book, The Adventures of Bug and Me, Sister Freeman tells of a night during their deputation travels. She reached to turn off the bedside light, and she heard the words, "None of these things move me." Knowing that it was a scripture, but not knowing what it meant to her personally, she prayed, and then she lay down to go to sleep. She heard the words again, and so she prayed again, but still no enlightenment came, and so she tried again to go to sleep. She heard the words a third time, and she reached for her Bible with this prayer, "Lord, help me find that scripture." She found it in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. And she spent a long time praying, and she felt the Lord had spoken a personal message to her. She went to sleep. During this time that she received this message from the Lord, they were offered a pastorate of a very wonderful church. And to add to the allure of becoming the pastor, the church offered to build them a home of their own choosing. And the enemy began to whisper in their ears, tempting them and causing some momentary doubt. But they had surrendered to the Lord. And so they rebuked the spirit of temptation with the strong determination never to consider exchanging the call of God for security. And she writes this, "There is considerable evidence that security can be an illusion." Acts 20, 24 says, it says those words that the Lord spoke to her, but it goes on, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me off of the ministry and the call of the Lord Jesus Christ." And God had placed those words in her spirit because he knew that they were about to be tempted with an alluring offer to bring them off the field that they had been called to. And God had bolstered her faith. He had strengthened her surrender in those moments. The call of God, what he is asking us to do, rarely comes with a 100-point plan of how to do it all. It rarely comes with financial security in order to do it all. There's some faith that's involved in fulfilling the call of God. And Sister Nona Freeman exemplifies that with her life of surrender. Surrender says, even if it means momentary uncertainty, I trust that at the right time, his plans will be revealed. And Sister Freeman quotes these next two verses in so many of her books, so many of her stories, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." This is a life of surrender that says this. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him." Surrender to him, and he shall direct thy paths. Sister Nona Freeman, she left a legacy of surrender for us to follow. But she was following Christ, for it was Christ in Luke 22, verse 42, that would pray this prayer, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Sister Freeman was enveloped in such a passion for the lost. After she and Brother Freeman had retired as missionaries, she prayed this prayer after coming back to America. I wish you could actually hear her saying this if you go on YouTube and look up. She spoke to Louisiana District Camp Meeting in 1989, and this story is from that excerpt that she preached. She prayed this prayer, "Lord, I wish you would let me know why we're not reaching the world like we should." She said the Lord answered her, And he said, there's too many spectators in the church and not enough participators. So she prayed again and she said, Lord, what's it going to take to move us from being spectators to participators? And the Lord gave her three words from that prayer of Jesus in Luke 22:42, not my will. And so before she addressed the Louisiana District Camp Meeting in 1989, she prayed, Lord, what do the people need to hear? And the Lord answered her, they need to understand it's time to say those three words and mean it with everything they've got. She went on to say, we live our whole lives catering to our will. We spend our whole lives giving our will everything at once. But our great example said, not my will, but thy will be done. And oh, how it would change things. Oh, the revival we would see if we too would pray, not my will, but thine be done. And she lived that out. She lived a life of surrender that at every turn just about, she was praying, not my will, but thine be done, Lord. She was following Christ, and we can follow her. She said of surrender, of that praying, not my will, she said, it's not settled in one day. It's sort of an everyday thing. Well, it's more than sort of an everyday thing, Sister Friend. It is an everyday thing. Not my will, but thine be done. Seeing the need around us in the world is important. But also actively seeking to meet that need is equally, if not more, important. And Sister Freeman exampled that to us. And so my question to us tonight is, and you take it home with you, what will you surrender to the Lord? He'll use whatever you surrender to Him. And He doesn't take it and just discard it and put it in a back corner somewhere. He sees every sacrifice that we make, and He'll use that. And He can make it something that we could never make it. He'll take it and He'll multiply it like He did with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. So what will you surrender to the Lord and watch Him do? She not only lived a life of surrender, but she lived a life of faith. Faith that nobody is too lost. Sister Freeman, she told a story of her grandson-in-law who was an atheist in prison. And after she was back from South Africa, the Lord gave her a burden for prisoners, and she just began to write to them. She felt prompted to write to them, and I'll just say right here, do what the Lord has prompted you to do. You never know the impact that it will make. If God's prompted you to do, it may look small and it may seem insignificant, but do that which the Lord has prompted you to do. So she wrote to her grandson-in-law regularly, but being an atheist, he would write her horrible letters. In response, she said, these are her words, I'd never gotten such nasty letters in my life. One day she got a letter, though, from him that said, I decided to get baptized in Jesus' name. She thought, how in the world did you decide to get baptized in Jesus' name? You're an atheist. You don't believe in God. But he began to seek the Holy Ghost. He wasn't getting it. So he told the Lord, Lord, give me that Holy Ghost tonight while I sleep. And he woke up talking in tongues. He wrote to Sister Freeman, and he told her about the experience, and then the day that followed that, how the devil tried to make him doubt his experience by telling him, you didn't really get the Holy Ghost, you just woke up jabbering, and you thought it was the Holy Ghost. And so he wrote, and he told her that when he went to bed that night, he said, all right, Jesus, do it again. And he woke up the next morning speaking in tongues. God had filled him, and he was proving to him that he had filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And she did say that since that time, he's written her the sweetest letters she's ever received. So the change that the Lord can make in a life. But the lesson we'll learn from her life of faith is this. Not only do what the Lord's prompted you to do, but every person that we meet is somebody that Jesus died for. Everyone, no matter what they've done, no matter what condition that they are in, they deserve a chance to know Jesus. They deserve a chance to have an experience with Him. And Sister Nona Freeman's faith that nobody is too lost prompted her to reach out to a prisoner and to write him a letter telling him about the miraculous power of the Lord. She also had faith that nothing is too hard for the Lord. In 2008, the year before her passing, she was 92 years of age, and she preached a sermon. It's on YouTube, at Brother Jerry Dillon's church in Mississippi, I believe. And the sermon was entitled, "How Big Is Your God?" This is a couple of quotes from that sermon. She said, "We have received the power of God. We have received the demonstration of the Spirit, but we've sat down on it. We've got the same thing they got in the book of Acts, and everything they did, we can do." Y'all got to listen to it. I can't do it like she did, and it doesn't mean as much when it's coming from me. Y'all got to go on YouTube and listen to her sermons. They're so inspiring. She was telling that church, we can do what God has called us to do. We can be the church that God has called us to be. And in that sermon, she tells several stories to show how big her God is and to inspire faith. And one of those stories was of the time she had lost her voice for 4 months. She went to the doctor, and they discovered cancer in her voice box. The doctor said, "I have good news and bad news. The good news is cancer hasn't spread to the rest of your body. So if I remove your voice box," and she began to shake her head no. She said later, recalling this story, she's like, "A preacher kind of needs their voice box." She knew the Lord called her to preach, and she said, "No, you're not taking it." The doctor continued, "And the bad news is, if you don't have the surgery, the cancer will spread." Well, she kept shaking her head no. She was insistent. Her and Brother Freeman got up to leave, and as they were leaving, the doctor told her, "Mrs. Freeman, you're choosing death when I've offered you life. If you'll just submit to this surgery," and she just kept walking, shaking her head no. Her condition got to the point that she couldn't eat food, she couldn't swallow liquids anymore, and she wrote her three daughters a little note and asked them to pray for her. And they prayed for her, and though her voice came back a little bit, it would come and it would go depending on how much talking she was doing. Brother G.A. Mengen in Alexander, Louisiana, invited her to preach for them on a Sunday night. And she talks about sitting there before, you know, while the service is going on. She said, "I was brainstorming ways to get out of that building. If I could just crawl under the pews, go back to the door." She was trying to get out of it because she knew as soon as she started talking, her voice was going to go. So though she was brainstorming ways to get out of the building so she wouldn't have to preach, God was about to perform a miracle for her. And the miracle was that she preached that night for 45 minutes without her voice giving out, and she never had another problem with it. God had miraculously healed her because of her life of surrender, but also her life of faith to know that God can do a healing work. He can do a healing work. So she was preaching, "How big is your God? My God did that for me. How big is your God?" So I'll just ask, when you're faced with negative news or overwhelming situations, how big is your God? She goes on to say, you need to just ask God to show you how big He is in your life. Ask Him to come through for you in ways that, what does that circle maker say? Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. We pray, and we believe, and we have faith. It's not in our prayer, but we have faith in the God who can do the impossible, and He will come through. He will prove His power. He will prove Himself every time. So how big is your God? Another story that she told took place after being in Africa for only 4 years, and she came down with an illness. And after a trip to the doctor, they discovered that it was leukemia. She described it as a fast-acting type of leukemia. And the doctor told her she was in the last stages of that leukemia, and he tried to recommend that she come back to America for more advanced treatment. And her response, as only Sister Freeman could say, was, "Nope, I came to Africa as a missionary. If I kick the bucket, let me kick the bucket here. I'm not going back there." She was surrendered to the Lord, and nothing was going to keep her from fulfilling her commitment. I like in the life of Nona Freeman how we see surrender and faith just kind of intertwine themselves. Her surrender was strengthened by her faith in God. And so could it be that our level of surrender is an indication of our faith in God? Do we trust Him to do what's best for us? Do we trust Him to work it out? Do we trust Him, even though the details and the specifics look like we need to take action? Do we trust Him enough to be still and know that He is God? I think of an illustration of this. If you fully trust somebody, you can pretty well surrender your life into their hands. If you have faith in them, you can surrender your life into their hands. There's that whole trust fall thing that people do. I remember Dad preached a sermon in Crossroads Christian School Chapel. He said, "Ams, I need you to come up to the sanctuary at such and such a time. I want to use you for this illustration." And I was like, "Okay." He's like, "All you have to do is just fall backwards." I'm like, "Are you crazy?" But he explained it to me, explained what it meant and how it would go. And so I was, 9 or 10. And I said, "Okay." So I went up there. I don't even know if I got there for the beginning of the message or not, but I got up there. Sister King let me go from my classroom. No, I don't know if it was her. But finally escaped Sister King, and I got to the chapel or the sanctuary, and he was preaching, and I stood there. I remember it was, as you're looking at the platform, we had that long pew of that where the minister sat over there, and then the short one where Brother Reaver and Dad had their little phone to call for pizza. And so the long pew was over there, and we were in front of the long pew, and he's like, "All right, just fall backwards." And so I'm not going to do it now because there's nobody behind me and nobody could catch me at this age and weight of life. And so I just said, "All right, I'm going to trust." And so I just remember falling back, and sure enough, he caught me. He's like, "All right, we're going to do it again." I was like, "Okay." But surrender is very much tied to our faith. And so I ask again, could it be that our level of surrender is an indication of our faith in God? If there's something that we're holding on to and aren't surrendering to Him, whether it's financially, whether it's answering the call that God's put on our life or whatever it might be, if we're holding on to something and not surrendering that, could that be an indication that we don't really have faith that either God could use us or that God would come through or God would act and He would prove Himself? Just think about it from the life of Nona Freeman. Our surrender could be an indication of our faith in God. And would you trust Him to just trust and fall into His hands and let Him catch you? So, back to the story. Sorry. She said, "No, I'm not coming back to America. If I kick the bucket, let me kick the bucket here," she told the doctor. So he's like, "All right, I'll prescribe you what we prescribe here in Africa. It's going to be a liver injection every day and a blood transfusion every week." So they went to the store, they bought a hypodermic needle, and they were going to use that. He made sure she knew how to use it. And when she told the story later, she said, "Something just rose up in me, and I said, I'm not going that way." She told her husband, "Throw away that hypodermic needle. No, throw away the liver injections and take the hypodermic needle back to the store and trade it for soap or something we can use." She said, these are her words, "I want to put myself in God's hands, and whatever He does is good." That was her trust fall moment. Whatever He does is good. The next 2 weeks, she reports, were really pretty bad as far as pain was concerned. And finally, one night she prayed, "Lord, don't let me see the sunrise of another day. If it's Your will, take me during the night." She went to sleep, and she dreamed that she was back in the States. And in the dream, she was in a house where a man was praying. In her dream, she heard him praying, and the prayer was for her. He was praying, "Lord, you see Nona Freeman over there in Africa with that dreaded disease of leukemia. I rebuke that disease in the name of Jesus, and I command it to go now." If God prompts you to pray, you better do it. We better do it. We better do what God has prompted us to do. She said when she heard that in her dream, it was a lightning bolt that hit her and went all the way through from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And she woke up claiming her healing. She got out of bed on her own, something she hadn't been able to do for a while at that point, and she walked into the kitchen where her husband was, and she told him what she had dreamed and that she believed that the Lord had healed her. She said he looked at her and said, "Well, you don't really look that much better, but if you believe God has healed you, I believe it too, so let's just have a Thanksgiving service right here." Didn't start out with a lot of faith, but it ended with some faith there. So they knelt in their kitchen and they thanked God for the healing, and every day after that she gained strength and more strength, and the leukemia was gone and she did not perish with that disease. Brother Freeman was just kind of being honest. "You don't really look much different. Doesn't really look like God has healed you, but even when it doesn't look like the answer has come, you just go ahead and claim the answer and thank God for it." That's faith. That's expressing faith in Him. And on the other side of that, that man that was praying, there was a man that was literally praying that it wasn't just a dream. The Lord took her in her dream to this man's home where he was physically down on his knees praying for her. And that's why I say when God prompts you to pray for somebody, when He lays somebody on your heart, you just go ahead and do that, because you never know what you're maybe preventing in their life. You never know what you are adding to their life. Express your faith and just go ahead and act on that, whatever God's prompting you to do. And then Brother Freeman, he said, "Well, let's just go ahead and have a Thanksgiving service right here in the kitchen." They knelt down and did so, leaving us with this example that we can praise Him before we have the proof or the evidence of the miracle. Because the Bible says this, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So praise Him when faith is the only evidence you have, and then that physical evidence will begin to materialize. We can praise Him based on just our faith. We don't have to have everything worked out just right. We don't have to have all the answers in our pocket and in place. We can praise Him before we have the answers, and that's an expression of our faith. And He acts in response to faith. God acts in response to faith. Sister Nona Freeman followed Christ, and because of that, her life is marked by surrender and faith. And these individuals that we're highlighting over these several weeks are modern examples of God using a life that will surrender to Him and put their faith in Him. Will we follow in their footsteps? I was reading some of these stories and I was like, I want that to happen to me. And then I think of all that she went through. All the sicknesses God had to heal her from. She had to be sick first. And I thought, Do I trust? But her life, her surrender, her faith is so inspiring to me. As I read, I felt my faith build. As I would listen to those sermons, I was listening to one as I was driving home yesterday from work, and tears coming down my face, and I thought, this is not safe for the drivers of St. Louis, but I was just letting the Lord bless me and speak to me. Will we follow in the footsteps of these powerful men and women who really what we're doing is we're just following in the footsteps of Christ, because they were following Christ and we're following them. And so if our lives are going to be known for anything, may it be surrender and faith. God used these men and women, and He wants to use us as well. One final story to inspire you. She was in a mall, and a lady came up to her, all bent over, and she said, "Oh, I'm so sick. My back is in such terrible shape." Sister Freeman said to the lady, "Well, here, let me pray for you." And as she prayed in the Holy Ghost, the lady straightened up, became completely well, and said, My, all the pain is gone. Jesus has healed me. You're in a mall of all things." Sister Freeman said, "It doesn't matter where you are. The Holy Ghost can operate any place. Our unworthiness, our lack of ability, our helplessness, our incompetence has got nothing to do with it." She said, "He's looking for a vessel that He can use in His way." I'll invite you to stand tonight and encourage you from the life of Sister Nona Freeman that He can operate anywhere and through anyone. And so let's surrender to Him and have faith. Can we do that right now? Jesus, I thank You. Thank You for the miracles that were wrought through the life of Sister Nona Freeman and her husband. I thank You, Lord, for what You did. And if You'll do it through them as they followed You, You will do it through us as we follow You. The days of miracles are not over. You still want to demonstrate Your power through the miraculous. And so I pray for a release of the miraculous in APC and throughout the city of St. Louis in order to draw attention to You. And I pray that You would help us as followers of Christ. Help us to have that level of surrender and help us to exercise the level of faith that we need to do. In Jesus' name, help us, I pray, to follow You and to follow You into every area that You want us to go in. And then You promised when we would believe and follow You that signs and miracles and wonders would follow us. And we're going to claim that. We're going to have faith and we're going to trust that You're going to do that work here at APC and in the city of St. Louis. Can you give Him praise right now? I know we haven't seen it happened yet, but can you praise Him in faith? God, I thank You for every miracle that You will perform. Thank You for healing cancer and diabetes. Thank You, Lord, for miraculous provision. Thank You, Lord, for miraculous conversion of unsaved loved ones. I thank You, Jesus. Thank You for what You're doing. Thank You, Jesus, for Your power that is at work in our lives. I thank You, Jesus. Sister Nona Freeman had radical demonstration in her life. Her books are filled with radical stories of demonstration of the power of God. But it results from radical surrender and radical faith. And when we surrender to Him and put our faith and our trust in Him, and we'll operate anywhere, any place, even in a mall or in a doctor's office, we'll operate that faith. He will come through. He will not fail. And I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do in all of our lives and in the city of St. Louis as we surrender and put our faith and our trust in Him. We get to come back this week and end and celebrate our mothers.